I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow-white turtle doves. I'd like to see the world always all standing hand in hand with divine love in every heart and peace throughout the land. It's a sound I hear, and I'm here to say what the world wants today is the real thing. And I don't mean coke, honey. This is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And we have just a delicious, wonderful, adorable treasure of a treat for you today. Sharon Callahan. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you so much, Iris, for having me on your show.
Thank you for being here. Now, I want to tell you some things about Sharon. She's an internationally acclaimed animal communicator. She has been to, you've been to all kinds of wild game preserves. You've been called in by veterinarians around the world. People call her with every kind of animal problem. And she's also a minister and in Mount Shasta and has her own church. And it is a church where animals can come to. Talk
yes,
about
I
that.
Can. Well, ever since I was a little child, I was distressed that animals weren't allowed in churches. And I can remember once when I was about 6 years old, I was going to church with my parents to a Catholic church in our neighborhood. And as all the parishioners were going in, there was a little cat, mother cat, and three little kind of bedraggled kittens, and she was carrying one of them. They were so tiny, and they were trying to rush into church with all the parishioners, and a man that was there, I can't actually remember whether it was a priest or just some man that happened to be standing there, but he kicked the kittens away and closed the doors. And in some way, Iris, at 6 years old, that really was the incident that set me on my path, because I just, I couldn't let that go. You know, it haunted me for years and years and years, and yet I felt I was too little to really speak up or to do anything about it. But now, it's like in my 60s, all of that has come full circle, and we've created a church where animals that are drawn to it can come to services along with the people. And just as with people, I certainly would never force any animal to do anything it didn't want to, but those that show up spontaneously are always welcome.
And they do show up spontaneously there.
They sure do.
I want to go back to the thing about the kittens.
Yeah.
I really want people to wake, like for me, the way I am with kitties and
yeah.
And kittens is that I'm a mom.
Right.
And every mom deserves to see her babies grow up to be happy and healthy and play and have fun and be all that they're here to be. Every mom has a right to that.
Every species of mom.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And those kittens are as precious as any mom's child. And she was probably looking for a home to take care of her baby. She probably came there asking for loving Christian charity.
Well, she did, Iris. You know, that was my impression, even as a tiny child, was that she was there because, number one, she needed food for herself and her kittens. And also, you're exactly right, she was drawn to the church for the same reason that the people were, you know, not only out of gratitude, but also because they wanted to pray for things that they wanted or needed. And to me, it was just horrifying that anyone would even think of kicking her away.
I want to back up to that time, and I want to manifest with you, and I believe that we can do this, is there was some bright being walking by there, somebody like you or me that saw that as that man did it and went and scooped that mom and those babies up and took them home and fed them and loved them and perhaps kept all of them and gave them the best home any cat's ever had. That's what I want, and that's what I want for every animal, and that is why I'm here.
And, you know, Iris, really what you've just said was such conviction right now. You know, aside from being the topic that we're talking about today, I mean, really, it does work to make that kind of a declaration for something in the past. Because I think, you know, sometimes we forget that, you know, time itself, linear time, is just something that we create in our mind. But the all and everything that is really like a great big hologram. And so the past and the future and everything that will ever be experienced is actually with us now. And so really it's important for listeners to know that what Iris has just done is not only to say some nice words, but it really does go into the past and recreate that situation. Very, very powerful. Something we need to remind ourselves of every day is that we can change everything, present, past, future.
And you know what else is, I want to bless that man that, of course, he had his own agenda for being that unfeeling.
Yes.
But also God called him because it was that awakening for you to do what you're doing. He was just showing you the thing that goes on the planet. Like, you know, the thing I've never been able to get over is people saying that animals have no souls.
Yeah.
Most of them are better parents than humans.
Much, much better. They'll sacrifice themselves in any moment for their children.
I'll never get over, I was raking some leaves one time, and all of a sudden this little mouse stood up on her hind legs and she was shaking her fist at me and just yelling and yelling and yelling, and I knew I did something wrong, I didn't know what it was, and suddenly she starts hauling little babies under the fence, and within 30 seconds she had gotten 5 little babies under the fence to safety away from me, had cussed me out the whole time. I mean, even with baby mouse in her mouth, she was yelling at me. And
what incredible courage.
Yes, and I was just stunned, and I just thought, oh, my God, this is what I want for human parents.
Yeah.
This is what I want human parents to be. And I really want all the things to cease on the planet that are so unkind to animals, because the way we treat animals is really the way we treat each other.
That's right. Absolutely. I mean, I feel that our regard for animals, or humans' collective regard for animals, it simply has to change, because until our regard of animal changes, nothing else will change. It really absolutely is the key. And animals, you know, every moment of every day, if we really open our eyes and look, they're giving us such examples of all of the highest spiritual qualities, you know, love.
Yeah. Have
devotion.
You ever seen?
It's just incredible.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just get excited about this subject.
I know you do, so do I.
One of the things I know, so you know, just jump in anywhere if I...
I will. You too.
Good. The other day, I was listening to the birds, and they were just singing, and all of them were singing with all their heart, with all their heart and soul. They're soaring, and I thought, you know, birds are always in a process of giving praise, love, and gratitude for God. They're so grateful for their lives, and that is why they can fly.
That's absolutely true.
It wasn't my thought at all. You know, that was a thought from God. I mean, not that I'm not one with God, but it wasn't from my separate mind, my personality. It was from the part of me that is God in everyone and everything. And, you know, sometimes, like, when people like that man at the church can treat a kitten that way, and yes. I think, I pat a little kitten's belly, and I think, how God must love to create something so tender, so well cared for, so well thought out, such a master of engineering, such a graceful being. And, you know, cats are... They teach all the time. You know, they're always laughing when we're doing something like doing taxes or something.
Isn't that the truth?
They're going, you know, they say stuff like, you're dealing with the IRS, and they say stuff like, oh, it's a really good day to be a cat, and they're yawning in the sun, taking a little nap, smelling the flowers, chasing a few butterflies.
That's right.
And so you're saying is that we need to learn from them.
To watch the animals and learn from them, because in every moment they're teaching us. I mean, even the little creatures that we hardly ever notice, like ants and little bugs on the sidewalk and butterflies and bees. I mean, I just not too long ago spent some time at a neighbor's who has hives of honeybees, and I mean, what an incredible lesson that they teach. I mean, they absolutely give over their individual self to the good of the hive, and they all work together, and it's an entire culture of cooperation and love, and there's so much we could learn from that.
Yeah, and ants, you know, if two ants meet each other on a path and one is has food and the other one doesn't, the one that has food will give half of it to the other one. Did you know that?
I've seen them do that. That was another thing that I don't know if you did this too, Iris, but when I was a child, I used to love to lie right down on our, we had a kind of wooden back porch. And I would just get right down there and watch the ants. And at one point, my grandfather actually gave me a magnifying glass so I could look at them even closer. And I just thought they were the most magical creatures I'd ever seen. And so intelligent. I mean, I've watched ants come to a, they're all going on along in a line, and they would come to a split between the boards. And they would actually push a pine needle across the split so that they could all cross over.
Wow.
They're just intelligent, it's so intelligent. And if we just watch them, we can see that they're really not so different than we are. They just have different bodies, that's all.
You know, and there's something in that thing where we've treated them as pests that... is so unfair. Like, I was thinking one day of how we used to kill flies, you know, and
yes.
I save flies out of the swimming pool.
I'm sure you do.
If I am doing a radio show and a butterfly gets caught in the house, I stop and put it outside.
Good for you.
And I think, you know, like... I think that we've treated flies so badly, you know, and they can fly. They can do something that we haven't been able to do.
That's right.
Why aren't we going, oh my, let me see, what does he have to teach me? Would you teach me how you fly? This is the things I want to know.
And, you know, our whole relationship with the creatures that we consider pests would change. I mean, it would change overnight if we just approach them with curiosity about their lives and respect.
Yeah, well, along those lines, I have one. And I can't tell anyone how much I value and respect and honor your work, Sharon, and give thanks for it. And I'm going to share a couple things that have happened in our lives, and and they're miraculous. They're almost unbelievable. And one of them is that we had termites. I mean, we really had termites. And right up the hill from us is like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of oak trees. And so Sharon and I worked together asking the termites to leave, and they were all over. They were making their little piles in the kitchen cabinets. And before I came to you, Sharon, I had tried a lot of other things and I had meditated on it. And I knew I don't do anything with poison. I refuse to deal with poison. I don't want any. There's been like a kind of a consciousness that a little bit of poison is okay. A little bit of poison's just, you know, but it's not okay. And I didn't want one of those tents that they put around. I didn't want.
No.
And I didn't. And I don't know how far those things go. Even if you consider the termite an enemy, how far does that poison go? You know.
Well, that's right.
Just it goes back to the water supply, the air supply, everything. And so we had, I'll just let you take it from here and tell what happened.
Well, let's see. As I remember, you called me up about the termites, and we decided to put our minds and our hearts together and to speak with the termites. And, you know, rather than to simply tell them that they should leave, because, you know, really they're just doing their job, aren't they, Iris? I mean, they're just doing what termites do. And so they have to have some kind of life and means of living and providing for their families. So what Iris and I did was we gave the termites a certain length of time, and we asked them if they would, we told them that we love them. We filled the house and the underneath of the house with divine light. We told the termites that we love them. And we asked them if they would please move up into the oak trees behind Iris's house. And I don't remember, Iris, exactly the timing. How many days later was it that they actually moved?
Well, they asked for an extension.
They said it was a couple of weeks or something, as I remember.
I'm thinking 9 days, but they were out, and you can tell when they're there because they make those little hills, you know.
Yes.
It's serious when they start eating the kitchen cabinets, and they had eaten a lot of deck, and I told Jerry I thought we had termites, and he said no, it's rot from you watering the plants, you know, on the deck. and that's what we thought it was for a long time. So we had a major infestation, the kind where they put that tent on your house for a week and poison everything.
Yeah.
And I was not going to do that. And I want to also say that it was harmonious because there's plenty of wood up there to eat that has fallen on the ground.
That's right.
And don't they for that first?
And wasn't it, Iris, as I remember, in the beginning, we gave them 3 days, but that wasn't quite long enough.
Just a minute. Somebody's calling. Sharon?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Where were we? Okay, you said we gave you 3 days.
Yeah, I was remembering that we had given them 3 days, and you know, that 3 days wasn't quite long enough for them, and that's when, as you said, they asked for an extension. And I think, you know, one thing for people to know, too, is that animals are just like people and even insects. And so, you know, if someone were to ask me and my family or Iris and her family to move in 3 days, you know, we could easily see that that might not be enough time to pack everything up and get it out and notify everyone. So the termites asked us for an extension, which we gave them, and then around the 9th or 10th day after our original request, Iris reported that the termites had gone. And they haven't been back, Iris?
No, not at all. And you know what I had to give up that I think that it's okay to kill some things, like if they're taking over your house, mm-hmm. you know, and I had to give up that you're going to leave or I'll have to kill you.
Right.
You know?
And well, also, I think an important point, too, Iris, is that we tend to think that if we have termites in our house or ants or mice or whatever it happens to be, we tend to think that they're there looking for food or a warm place to be. But, you know, knowing you like I do, I know that one of the things that little critters that come near your house or in your house or after is they really want to be near all the beautiful spiritual energy in your home. And so even the termites, you know, aside from the fact that they eat wood, I know that they were drawn to the beautiful spiritual energy that you set up in your home. So in asking the termites to leave Iris's house, one of the things that we did, as I remember, is that we projected an incredible, divine, loving, spiritual energy up into the area where the oak trees are so that the termites were moving from the beautiful energy of Iris's home to a beautiful energy that we had set up with our intention in those oak trees. So in that way, we were really giving them what they wanted. We were giving them the option of eating all the wood that was naturally up in the area of the oak trees, but we were also recreating a beautiful spiritual energy for them to move towards.
Well, also, Sharon, what came up in the reading with you was that there was some yucky energy around the oak trees. That was the reason they hadn't gone there in the first place. And
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, and we did a clearing on that.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the oak trees had been asking for help.
Yeah.
And, we are the ones on Earth. We're the caretakers of this Earth, and it's not up to us to fix everything, and it is up to us to call for divine guidance and for divine help and for the angels and the ascended masters and the cosmic beings and the nature spirits to help us so that we can cooperate together. Like you were talking about the ants do and the bees do. And you know, and when you were talking, I was thinking about the way birds fly in formation, and nobody ever hits anyone. Nobody ever flies into anyone.
That's right.
They fly as one. And
I
would like us to learn that.
Yes. Yes. And what better example do we have than the beautiful animals that are around us every single day? I mean, it's really just a matter of our opening our eyes, looking around, watching them, and following their lead. Because they have just an incredible purity that we somehow have lost as we have what we would call progressed, but sometimes one wonders if it's a progression or not.
Well, I think that we've made a lot of stuff and ritual and things more important than ourselves.
That's right.
things looking a certain way, serving appearances instead of our inner God self.
Right.
And animals
exactly.
are doing that.
They are
animals
doing
are doing that.
That.
Pardon me?
They are doing that all the time.
Well, Sharon, I want people to have an opportunity to tune into your website. So will you tell people how they can do that?
Yes, I can be found at Anaflora. It's www.anaflora.com. And from there, people will also find three other websites that they can link to from there, all with information on treating and relating with animals in a sacred way.
And that's so important. I want to tell the other miracle that happened with us, and it was that we live, you know, with this these beautiful oak trees and this hill in back of us, and we had had a coyote kill five of our kitties, and I would think he was gone, and then I'd let him out, and I was really careful to get him in the daytime. So they were, I can hardly talk about it. So they weren't out at night, you know, and we have the kind of kitties that would just kill them to stay inside. They just love outside so much. And so finally, the coyote broke into the yard and killed one of the cats in our yard, inside of our fence. And he was locked in here then and didn't know how to get out. And Jerry and I were chasing him. And Jerry had an opportunity. He had a board in his hand. And he said, "Shall I kill him?" And I said, mm-hmm. "No, I couldn't do that. No matter what he did, I couldn't do that."
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked with you on it.
Yeah.
And he went away completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
And again, it took a little time, didn't it, Iris?
It did.
We had to give him a little time to go.
But you know what happened after that? I was swimming in the pool one day, and he walked along the hill, and he stopped, and he turned around, and he looked at me, and I looked at him for about 5 minutes. Neither one of us moved. And I don't even know what I said, Sharon,
mm-hmm.
but he did not come back.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, and you said at that time that animals of prey know that they're not to disturb domestic animals. They know
do.
that's the rules. But I felt like he was doing that because it's built up so much around here that his space is taken.
That's right.
And but you also said that at that time, and that was several years ago, that he just wanted to be loved and special.
He did.
And that
he also seemed to have been drawn somewhat by the beautiful energy that you have created on your property. And, of course, I can imagine that there wouldn't be anywhere else around where he would find that.
Well, after that, when he didn't, I want to work with you about something about that, because I don't want to draw, you know, mountain lions, things like that, things that eat small furry things.
Yes.
Just the other day, a coyote came, and after he left, I called you at that time, and after he left, Heidi was so, that's our kitty. She was mm-hmm. so sad. To touch her, it was like she was dead or something. She was just mm-hmm. limp. And she had just totally withdrawn, which is so unlike her. And I asked Sharon why she was so sad, and you said she was sad for the coyote because nobody loves them.
That's right.
And so we asked, and it's back to that, you know, you can ask for what you want.
That's right.
We asked that coyotes be, that those who have been coyotes have an opportunity to evolve and embody as beloved dogs. Dogs that are really adored and loved and treasured.
Yeah.
And we believe that is being done, don't we?
That's right. I absolutely believe that's being done.
So
and
I was going to say too,
Iris, you know, when you were talking about, I was talking about the divine energy that you've set up in your home and yard, and you made a little bit of a joke about how you wanted to be careful not to attract mountain lions or things. And, you know, really, if we set up any kind of really sacred place and we attend to that over time so the energy grows, we really will begin to attract all different kinds of beings because every living thing is drawn to sacred energy. But one of the things, Iris, that I always recommend to my clients that they do is to actually create a little sacred space outside of the boundary of their property, like on the outside of their fence. You know, if you
uh-huh.
have an area that goes into wildland or something.
Yes.
Because usually if you give the animals what they're after, if you give them a sacred space of their own, then they will actually go to that rather than coming into your sacred space. So I have people set up little altars for the wild animals, you know, putting little sacred objects and holy water and spiritual pictures and sometimes statuary. And the animals really do respond to that, the wild ones, and they really do then stay out of your own sacred space because they're getting what they want and need, and then they're absolutely respectful of your space.
Only thing is that I want to make it about a mile away with the coyotes.
Well, you could do that, I think. You probably could do that where you are.
I will. I will, Sharon. But it will have to be in some secret place so people wouldn't find it, right?
That's right. Yes, if it can't be close to your property, you'd have to find a little secret place. But knowing you could.
Yeah, about a mile from here would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we can ask for a triple flower of life golden hologram sphere around our, individually around our kitties and around our land and around our home and around all of our affairs.
That's
we can
right.
call for Ascended Master protection this way. And I do. And I do. And I just want to say I want to attract what's really appropriate here and what will work for our kitties and the life that's right around here.
Can you talk a little bit about the Tree of Life hologram that you were talking about? Is that what you called it?
I feel really confused. I don't know which thing you're referring to.
Oh, about putting the protective barrier around.
Oh, the flower of life. I thought you said the tree of life, and I was sick. Okay, the flower of life is. I think you can look it up on the internet. Just the flower of life, and it is a triple flower of life golden sphere, or you can do gold and then silver and then gold around that, and put it around your home, and ask for the Ascended Masters and the angels and the great cosmic beings and the nature spirits and the divas and the fairies and the elves and the dwarfs and the dolphins and the powers of nature to fill and charge that with protection and activities of the sacred fire, and to make it, I long for that thing that's in the Bible that says the lion shall lie down with the lamb.
It's coming.
And yes, I long for that sort of deep peace where everyone knows they have everything they need. No one would harm any other part of life. We all love each other. We all honor each other. We're all filled with that deep, 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 satisfying, joyous peace. That's what I'm asking.
And I do believe with all my heart that that's the way that the earth was originally, and that we absolutely can get back to that. And it wouldn't take very long if everybody did it.
And asked for it.
That's right.
And asked for it. And all it takes is really a moment-to-moment honoring of all life, like being the most gentle and loving and harmonious and everything that I can be to contribute to that.
Right.
And sending that out as a consciousness and a sun presence. And the
That's
other
right.
thing that you recommend, and I forgot to say about Sharon, is that you're a columnist in the Animal Wellness magazine.
Yes.
And one of the things I read in Animal Wellness magazine is your article about meditation. Can people get that on your website?
It isn't yet on my website. I actually plan to post all of the articles there at some point in the next month. But I believe that they can go to the Animal Wellness Magazine website, which is animalwellnessmagazine.com, and you can look in their archive and find all of my articles there.
Well, the one I'm talking about is where you talk about how important meditation it is to look inside every day, to really listen and center and look within at what's really important.
That's right.
To do and to be and to have and how to solve things in the world, and I'm thinking that if each of us are doing that, and if each of us are given divine solutions for whatever we confront in our life, and we contribute that so that other people know, and we just spread it and pay it forward and contribute it, and
right.
that could change the world in such a short amount of time.
It absolutely would, Iris, and I find it's particularly important and particularly effective and powerful to do a prayer and meditation session right at the very beginning of the day. You know, really for each person to make a commitment to get up just a little bit earlier every day, you know, maybe a half an hour earlier than you would normally get up. And really do prayers and meditations for the world, seeing the world as being perfectly loving and peaceful now in this moment, projecting love and light to everyone, saying a prayer that everyone have enough love and food for that day, and really holding it in our heart as we walk forward into our day and take our shower and go to work or whatever we do. Because if we do that, then the whole tone of our day will be different in a personal sense. Everything will work right. And also that blessing throughout the day will go out into the world. I mean, it's so important to start the day on a beautiful note. And I think so many people, because their lives are so busy, they just simply don't think of that. You know, they jump out of bed and get going without really realizing that they're the master of the day, that we can master our own day, that we really are living embodied masters, and we can create our world and the world in the way that we want it.
I want to write that down. I am the master of the day.
And, you know, a good thing to say in the beginning of the day, you know, each person can make up their own beautiful prayer. But, you know, what comes to me is something like, I am the master of my day. It will be filled with nothing but love and light and abundance. I am the master of this day on the world. May it be filled with nothing but love and light and abundance. And may the lion lay down with the lamb.
You say that?
I do.
Oh.
And you know, Iris, if everyone did, it's just like you said a minute ago, if we all did it, the world would change overnight.
Say the whole thing again. I'm writing it down. You know what? I want to tell people that I have the people on the show that I want to learn from, that I want to support their work, that I want the world to be their vision. And so I'm in this for me, too. It will be filled with all love, light, and abundance, and...
I would say I do it spontaneously, but I would say I am the master of my day. My day will be filled with love, light, and abundance. Everything and everyone that I touch will be healed and filled with love, light, and abundance.
Everything and everyone I touch will be
filled with love, light, and abundance. All disharmony will be healed.
I'm still writing. I don't do shorthand. all disharmony will be healed?
Yes.
All disharmony will be healed.
And then I really say the very same thing again for the world itself. That the world, may the world this day be filled with love, light, and abundance. May all disharmony be healed.
Uh-huh.
And may the lion lay down with the lamb.
Oh, I love you so much, Sharon.
Oh, I love you so much, too. I think that saying a prayer that the lion lay down with the lamb is so incredibly powerful, because not only is it a metaphorical statement for peace on earth, but it really literally is true that the living lion and the little lamb can lay down together if we wish it to be so.
Then what does the lions eat? This always bothers me, this part.
Well, you know, in all different scriptures, you know, whatever tradition you look at, they talk about the lion and lamb and the predator and prey animals laying down together and being peaceful. And I really believe that if we as human beings change our mind about things, that the predatory animals will simply start eating other things.
So everyone becomes a vegan?
I believe it. Because, you see, all of the great spiritual masters of all times have said that animal behavior, like predatory behavior in animals, is simply a mirroring of human predatory behavior. And you and I know that the animals are the human beings are the greatest predators. So if we stop being predatory, we will see that overnight the animals will not be predatory either, because they're simply mirroring our behavior.
You said a mouthful.
So we have the responsibility to make it different than it is now. And we have the power to do it.
and let's get it done. Let's finish this now and get it done. That's what I say, because I really want a world of gentleness for all of life. For all of life. I want it to be so if a man was at the door of the church and saw those kittens, he'd scoop them up and bring them in and get them a home.
Yes.
And it would be the first order of business. You know, we bless all that enter here, and we ask that all needs be fulfilled for all beings who enter here.
And
that's the change I want to see in the world. That's so important.
What you were saying, too, Iris, about, you know, animals becoming vegan, it really honestly can happen, because there have been animals all through history that have been like animal saints who have lived lives where they were not predatory. Like back in the 1940s, there was a very famous lioness named Little Tyke, who was a vegetarian lioness. Even as a tiny little baby, you know, they at a certain point she was raised by a person, because the lioness's mother had been killed. And at a certain point, the veterinarian recommended that they put cow's blood in the milk they were giving Little Tyke, so that she would learn to be carnivorous. And
ew.
She would never take it, Iris. She refused to eat it. And when she got old enough that she should be eating meat, she would turn her nose up at it. And all her life, you know, she lived a very long life. She never touched a piece of meat. And all of the veterinarians said, oh, she wouldn't live long, that she couldn't possibly live without meat. And not only did she live a really long life, but she was one of the most beautiful specimens of a lion that you've ever seen. So they really
can do that. Did you have pictures, or is there?
I do have pictures. There are actually very famous pictures of Little Tyke lying with a lamb. In fact, if people go to my website to the article section, there's a whole story that I wrote about Little Tyke, and there's a photograph of her with a lamb beside her.
Oh, I want one of those pictures. I'm going to do that. That's so wonderful. Sharon, the first five people, well, the first person who emails today to miracleshp@yahoo.com will receive a reading from Sharon, a free reading with your animal or any kind of issue you have with an animal. And it's such a fun, delightful, magical process. I really recommend, if it feels like this is for you, to email right now to miracleshp@yahoo.com. And also, the first five people to email will receive a free autographed copy of Sharon's beautiful book. And it is called Healing Animals Naturally you say it. It's such a long title.
It's called Healing Animals Naturally with Flower Essences and Intuitive Listening.
And so the first five people to email at miracleshp@yahoo.com will receive an autographed copy of this wonderful book. And it has Miss Lily on the front. Talk about Miss Lily.
It does. Well, Miss Lily is my wonderful tiger cat who's 21 years old this year. And she was born wild in the alley behind my house and has been just an instrumental part of my work and my business for over two decades now.
She really helps.
She does. I was going to say, too, Iris, last week I did a reading for a woman who found me through one of the shows that we did.
Uh-huh.
And she and I had just a wonderful time.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Sharon, what would you give to, if you could give just one gift to all life, what would you give instead of the myriad and many and numerous ones you're giving? What would you give?
Oh, I would have to say that whatever it is that we talk about that we want to give each other and the world, it really does boil.
I can't hear you too well all of a sudden.
Yeah, we're breaking up a little bit. What I would say is that with all of our good intentions for whatever it is each of us might want to give the world, it really does all boil down to love. I mean, that is what we're after. Because if we all love each other and we love the earth and we love the animals as if they're our own beloved family, then everything is healed within that.
Thank you, Sharon. How long does your meditation take? I'd like to get that in if we have time.
I think it takes about just a couple of minutes.
Let's do that. Would you lead it? And I want to ask people if you can just take a couple of minutes. This just is, it makes my heart soar to do this, Sharon. And would you lead it?
I would love to. And I would recommend that all of our listeners just take a moment and sit quietly with your eyes closed. And this is a meditation for restoring the sacred bond between animals and human beings and for healing the earth. So as we breathe in slowly, imagine that you're filling every particle of your being with divine light, and that divine light fills your heart, mind, and all of the cells and atoms of your body. On your next breath, imagine that you're breathing in light for all the people on earth, allowing the divine light to fill their hearts, minds, and every cell and atom of their bodies. Imagine now that you are filling every particle of your animal companion's being with divine light, and that divine light fills his heart, mind, and all the cells and atoms of his body. Now imagine that you are filling all animals of all species with divine light, and that divine light fills their hearts, minds, cells, and all of the atoms of their body. Imagine now that the breath of divine light is restoring their hearts, minds, and bodies, and that their sacred connection with one another connects all beings on earth. From the sacred space of connection, imagine the combined light of all beings radiating out and encompassing the planet and the mineral kingdoms and penetrating deeply into the core of the earth. From the core of the earth's restored heart, imagine the earth radiating divine light deep into space, connecting with and illuminating the stars, planets, galaxies, solar systems, and all of the beings that reside in all universes. On an in-breath, feel the loving, healing light of all beings and things in our universe and all universes beyond, filling your heart, mind, and body. On the out-breath, send back the healing light to all beings in all universes. Feeling the love in your heart, continue breathing in and out, quietly and peacefully, as long as you possibly can. When you finish, imagine one enormous, pulsating heart light.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you,
Iris. That is so beautiful. And that came to you out of meditating.
It did.
And I want to say that all that beauty is available to everyone who will tune in. It's just like tuning your radio station. It's a different vibration and frequency. And what we're in effect doing is asking the Ascended Masters to fill and furnish our world with the things from the Ascended Masters octave. And that is what heaven on earth means. And as above, so below. Thank you so much for being with us, Sharon. Would you tell people how to reach you one more time?
Yes, and I wanted to say, too, if there's any listener that would like a copy of this prayer, if they just contact me at the website, I'd be happy to send them one. And my website is www.anaflora.com.
Thank you, Sharon. And you can also download this program later and have Sharon do the meditation for you in her voice. So there are more than one way to get it. And I thank you so much for listening today and being with us. Sharon, I thank you so much for taking this time to share yourself. I know that everything you do is for the animals all the time.
It really is. And this is very, very precious time. And I think that all of your listeners are precious, because when we come together like this, there's tremendous power for good.
Thank you, Sharon. And I believe that that little beep was Don saying, you are off the air now. Is that, am I interpreting that correctly? Or do I have like 30 seconds?